Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, not only can we not dance together, we really can't talk at all and forget about handshakes. Anyway, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Mr. Phil Kennedy is our chief of staff here at the radio station. I'll be in Sunday 1 until 4 doing a special live local show. Monday is, Monday is a day, I mean, I got to tell you, WTAF, all right? Of all of the times, I don't want to be anywhere near a hospital. I got to go to the hospital and get a new ICD put in because the one I've got in me now is defective. Go figure. And I'll be back on Tuesday. It's not a big deal. I plan on staying awake and watching it. They'll let me do it again because it's kind of cool. But that's another story. I'm a little weird that way. So anyway, that's the deal. I plan on being back on Tuesday. I don't want to be away from you guys at all. I'd rather, I mean, seriously, the only thing I'm worried about is this damn virus. But I will do everything I possibly can to make sure that in the brief time I am hopefully at the hospital that I won't be exposed, and I will be bringing a lot of Clorox wipes with me. In fact, I think I'm going to make a glove out of Clorox wipes, or two gloves, better yet. So no big deal. And I should be back on Tuesday, no problem. 539 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So Governor Cuomo has essentially put New York State in lockdown, with the exception of essential businesses starting on Sunday. At President Trump's news conference, that question came up for the country.
What Governor Cuomo has done in New York, is there any more consideration to a national lockdown to keep people in their homes?
I don't think so. Essentially, you've done that in California. You've done that in New York. Those are really two hotbeds. Those are probably the two hottest of them all in terms of hotspots. I don't think so, because you go out to the Midwest, you go out to other locations, and they're watching it on television, but they don't have the same problems. They don't have, by any means, the same problem. New York, California, Miami, the governor's doing an excellent job. Governor DeSantis in Florida. We have some pretty hot spots in Florida, too. But we're general, and the state of Washington, of course, but that was largely, if you look at it, it was one nursing home that had problems like you wouldn't believe. So, no, we're working with the governors, and I don't think we'll ever find that necessary.
All right, President Trump saying he doesn't think there will be a national lockdown. Should there be a national lockdown? You know, eventually, Italy found that necessary. We keep hearing about Italy, Italy, Italy. And I'm also hearing a lot about South Korea. South Korea has slowed, you know, they've I don't know if they flattened the curve, but they've slowed the spread. and they have done it without a national lockdown. They've done it with a lot more testing and then isolating those who were tested and those who were exposed to the positive cases, but they've not gone into a national lockdown. South Korea also has 51 million people living in it compared to our well over 300 million. And don't forget to do your census. I did mine last night. My civic duty. And taxes put off till July 15th. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here's another massage therapist. I didn't realize we were so big in the LMT community. Hi. Rachel, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Quite well, thank you.
Good. Well, I just had to put my two cents in because I'm a massage therapist. I chose to stop working Monday, and it's just, I don't know, we have to do this. It's our responsibility. I would tell anybody, yes, any day of the week, go get a massage. It's beneficial, you know, for your mind and just feels good. But this is a responsibility we have. We do not need to be giving people massages right now. We are totally not an essential part of the medical, you know, field that I just feel that we shouldn't be massaging. It's too close. And this is how it's going to continue to spread.
If I was still practicing, I would have been out of it like a long time ago.
Yeah. And I will not say where I work, but they are still open, and I'm livid. I can't believe it. It is just blows my mind.
Now, I think, look, massage therapy is a great thing. It is a great adjunctive healing and well-being modality. But I got to tell you, with all respect to LMTs out there, I used to be one. I wouldn't be doing it right now. It ain't worth it.
Yeah, oh no, I know. And that's how a couple of us felt. And we decided, no way, we're not going to continue. So,
yep. Like I said, I mean, I really believe that all of us need to act as though we have been exposed to COVID-19 and perform accordingly.
I agree, because it's just going to continue to spread if we don't, you know, just do our responsible part and stay home.
I really would like to see my friends, but that's not going to happen anytime real soon.
Yep.
So. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, massage therapist who ain't working. And like I said, there's two different and distinct groups of emails. People who are very upset that they're not going to be allowed to work after Sunday, and people who are upset that they still have to work because they don't think it's safe. Back to the calls on WBEN, and it is Neil in Forestville. Neil, the person called in earlier wanting to know where to find thermometers.
Yes, everybody's got one in their kitchen. You can actually use a meat thermometer. It does have varying degrees of about 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit, but in an emergency, You can use a candy thermometer. So, I mean, if he's got to go to like a home food store or something, they'll probably still have something like that.
Interesting. I've got one of those digital thermometers for my meat. Never thought of putting it under my tongue.
Well, before I called and acted like a fool, I actually did that, Tom.
And what is your temperature, Neil?
Admitting it. I'm sorry?
What is your temperature?
It was 96.
I'm going to assume that you did it orally.
But of course.
Oh, I got that. All right. Well, thank you for the idea.
The first thing I would like to do, though, is I'll say a prayer for you on Monday, brother.
No reason to, man. I appreciate it, but it's basically is like dropping a new battery into a smoke detector.
Yeah, but still, it's going under the knife, and I still like.
Oh, I'm used to that. That's not a big deal, man.
You a cutter, Tom?
I'm sorry? Am I a cutter? No, I'm not. It's just you get to a certain point in life. Like they were talking today about, well, you know, this surgeon is very, very good. The scar shouldn't even be that much bigger. And I started laughing. I said, you think at this point in my life I really give a damn about scars? Another scar, another story.
Right on. Well, I'd also like to say a prayer for Kevin. And I think what he's got to understand and just get into his heart is that I think until you have faced death before, and how you felt the grip and the, you know, like that, like an anaphylactic reaction is probably the closest I've ever been. And it that grip, when they say that impending doom it really does hit you. And then that's when you have to go into yourself and know that God is going to take care of you. There will be, like you said, a tomorrow. You have to just have that confidence in yourself.
Well, one of the problems, you know, with COVID-19 and Kevin is we know so little about this at this point. And we don't know, and I'm not sure that even the doctors know, the blood pressure metrics, the EKG metrics, or whatever else they want to use, the pulse metrics for when somebody should or should not be admitted into the hospital, what the oxygen saturation levels are. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure that they know.
I think they epically failed us, though. If they ever did some kind of emergency preparation for this, or if they even thought about it, they're way behind on masks. They're way behind on testing units. They're way behind on just informing people with what the knowledge they need, where they have to go to get help. I mean, literally, if you look around, the food stores are gone. I mean, right now, we need to help ourselves.
Do we need a national lockdown? Do we need President Trump to say, all right, enough of this. This must stop. You're staying in your houses.
I think as long as we have fools like our governor that are panicking people and getting on in the middle of the afternoon just before the president comes on to inform us to talk about nonsense, I mean, and how he can't do anything. Like, I mean, you're the governor of a state. You have all of these businesses and people. Why are you not convening with, you know, the masses that be, so we can get this taken care of and take care of ourselves? Don't wait for the president to help you.
So did Andrew Cuomo do the right thing by shutting down New York?
I think so. Yeah, I think if you could just try to quell it as much as possible. I mean, you heard that gentleman talking. He just, you know, pretty much called a Lyft driver. I mean, that was probably the best commercial ever for Lyft. I mean, who's going to call Lyft now as long as they're listening to your show?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Neil. And kudos to that Lyft driver. And I certainly hope that the Lyft driver has access to the appropriate disinfectant. Kevin was wearing a mask on his journey home, was not wearing shoes. What can I say? I'm sure the Lyft driver is well aware of the precautions he must take. It is 5:48 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I mean, honestly, if one of my loved ones were driving for Lyft or Uber and somebody approached the car and said, I'm COVID-19 positive, it's your call whether or not you want to take me, I would hope they would say no without stigmatizing somebody. I'd prefer not. And I know that sounds horrible, but it is what it is. It is 5:49 at New. Kevin, what would you have done? Kevin. Sorry, I'm clearly losing my mind. Phil Kennedy.
I mean, you really didn't have a choice. You got to get home somehow, and you're not going to walk in bare feet. So he was left with no choice in my book.
So the Lyft driver had a moral obligation to take him?
The Lyft driver could have said no, and he didn't. I think that he realized the situation, what was going on maybe, but I don't think morally, that's a tough question.
Yeah. I mean, the other side of the coin is, again, I keep saying this, but by now, if you're not acting as though you have been exposed to COVID-19, you are not with the times. You are behind the times. You have to act as though you have been exposed. All right. And that's that. And yeah, when I get to the hospital on Monday, the person who's taken me, I told her, I said, I don't want you going in the hospital. Just drop me off at the front door. There's no reason for you to expose yourself to this environment. I don't want to be there. But this is not an elective situation. Got an email from somebody saying, well, you're just getting the surgery because of what you do for a living. The surgeon had no idea what I do for a living, and the out-of-town rep had no idea what I do for a living. This was based only on medical necessity. And I don't know, if you'd like to see the records from the open heart and the Brugada syndrome, I'd be happy to show you. Let's go to Jim in East Aurora. Jim, hello.
Yeah, hello. You know, these conversations we've been having here are hard acts to follow. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just getting over the whole idea of using a meat thermometer to put under your tongue. I never would have thought of that.
I know that, and the other guy with the Miller Fillmore Suburban.
Well, we'd like to hear what they have to say about this. There are two sides to every story. We got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so say I'm out there on the road, and my car is all decked out with decals that say driving school, student driver, I'm a driving instructor. Is that essential or non-essential? This list is very vague.
You obviously have read the list. Do you see any possible exemptions for you?
Well, you know, people can teach their kids how to drive without me. So, but then again, I've got road tests and that people have been taking lessons and they want to use our car and they're paying money. So it's hard for me to figure out if I'm essential or non-essential.
Well, okay, let's forget about that for just a minute. Let's just think about this. Do you really want to be in an enclosed environment with any number of people right now?
It's one-on-one. It isn't driver ed, but...
It doesn't matter. I mean, if they sneeze and they're positive, you're going to be positive, my friend.
See, my boss isn't looking at it that way, so...
Well, I don't know that your boss has a choice as of Sunday. I do not believe that driving schools are considered essential businesses. And I will tell you, if I did what you did for what you do for a living, I would not want to be in a car with anybody right now to whom I otherwise have not been exposed.
Yeah. I wipe it down. I ask them if they're sick or they're I don't notice sneezing or coughing, but...
Doesn't matter. 80-87% of people with COVID-19 have no symptoms or very mild symptoms.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, I mean, look, this is just, forget about exemptions and geez, is there an exemption for this? Is there an exemption for that? You got to use your common sense. This thing is highly contagious. It is 10 times more fatal than the flu. We're trying desperately to flatten the curve, which basically simply means that we don't have an onslaught on the hospitals and doctors literally having to decide who lives and who dies.
No.
I mean, so I got to tell you, man, as much as we all need income, and I'm taking a hit with certain areas, I'm not immune from this myself. So it's you got to. Look, my common sense would say I don't want to be in a car with somebody I don't know that well. In fact, I wouldn't want to be in a car right now with somebody I do know well.
Right.
I mean, to be very honest with you, the only people I have actually physically come into contact with are the same people I've been coming into contact with for the past, since last Tuesday.
Right.
That's it. I have self-quarantined. Well, all right, that's too strong a word. I have pretty much self-quarantined.
Well, what I don't understand is there's road tests next week, and they have canceled some later, but why doesn't the DMV just stop road tests?
I believe that would be considered non-essential. I'd have to believe that at this point.
Right,
I don't know if you've checked the DMV website, but I can't imagine. I'm sure I'll get a text from somebody or Phil will find out the information. But I would have a hard time believing that with every school closed, they're still going to do road tests when they might not even do the scholastic tests.
Right. Monday I have one scheduled, but next week they're canceled. So I don't know where they're coming from. I mean, they're...
Well, it was scheduled before the ban went into place by Governor Cuomo. I mean, I would just assume as of Sunday, the state is essentially in lockdown. But, I mean, I would do a little bit of poking around on the internet. I'm sure you know how to navigate the DMV sites. But, frankly, my common sense would say if I was given a road test, I wouldn't want to be with a bunch of people in a car.
Right. And, well, they're exposing the examiner. The DMV is exposing the examiner to this.
Right. And then every subsequent testee is being exposed to it. So I just don't think that's a good idea.
And I think the DMV should stop it right now.
Maybe they have. I'd suggest you look it up, man, because that's your bread and butter, and you know it better than I do.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. By the way, breaking news, the first COVID-19 case has been reported at ECMC. The first COVID-19 case at ECMC. We have had inpatient COVID-19 patients who have developed this, who have already been hospitalized elsewhere. Just that ECMC is the latest on the list.
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Don't ever tell me something like that. Right when I'm going to go back on the air. That's an awesome story. Phil Kennedy, our chief of staff here at News Radio 930 WBEN. Brenda Alacy is coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. She'll be live. She will be local. We'll have full coverage all weekend long on News Radio 930 WBEN. And when you don't hear me on Monday, it does not mean I have COVID-19. It simply means I have to have an unexpected yet medically necessary procedure done. My ICD is defective, and they simply have to open me up, take the old one out, put a new one in, and I'm done.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So the minute I wake up, I'm going to be saying, please let me out of here now. I'm done. Thank you. So there's really nothing to it. If I could work on Monday, I would work on Monday. But I don't see any way I'm going to be able to do that. For one thing, I have to get up at a ridiculously early hour, so I'll probably spend the show hours sleeping. But I'll be back on Tuesday right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I mean, I could probably milk a few days out of it, to be honest with you, but I'd just as soon be here. It is Bowerly. Governor Cuomo, did he do the right thing by essentially shutting down New York State? And should President Trump enact a national lockdown to prevent the spread of COVID-19? And if we have any other COVID-19 positive people out there who want to call in, you are more than welcome to do so. And let's get right back to the calls and take everybody in order. And here's Jane in Amherst. Jane, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. I wanted to say that can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
That the universe has answered your wish. You get to binge watch Marie Kondo and finally clean out all those, stuff you saved over the years and didn't have time to do.
Oh, you mean declutter?
Huh?
You mean declutter?
Yes.
I haven't even done my taxes yet.
Okay, so, yes.
And I've been binge watching true crime shows like Snapped and See No Evil. Oh.
No. When you're done with those shows, this is like everybody in the listening audience. If you always said, oh, I have no time to clean out the refrigerator and the freezer. I have no time to clean out my closet. I have no time to dust the dust bunnies under my bed. Oh, give me a break. Now you have the time. So if there was something that you felt in all your rushing around, you just never had time to do. Today it's Friday night. Is it Friday? Oh, my God, do I know the day? Yes. Make lists. You may not get to the list, but start making lists in the categories of your life that need attention. So everybody's being actually given a gift to hit the pause button. And I don't want to hear anyone say, oh, you know, what about this? What about that? For those of you who have lost your job, you will get money from the government. For those of you who have your job and hate your job, I would be looking online to change careers. When this is all over, it will, if we succeed in freezing where we are physically and we stop and stay at home, the goal, yeah, I wanted to say, nobody's doing a good job of explaining what does flatten the curve mean.
Oh, you weren't listening to my show this week, but you go ahead and give it a try.
Well, I'm going to give it a try.
Because we actually played Sally the Camel Has 10 Humps as part of the illustrative process, but let's maybe you can do a better job.
Okay, this is my attempt. I lived through Germany with the Chernobyl radiation over Germany. I was in my apartment in Heinerberg in the middle of Germany. And my husband did a good job of explaining it to me. He was a UH-60 Black Hawk pilot, and he said this is very bad. Russia, like China now, neglected to tell Europe that it blew. And many days went by, and none of us knew in Europe that a radiation cloud blew over our head. And for those of you who were not born at that time, this is what happened. How did we find out? Well, the U.S. military and the AWACS had radiation. Every military that monitors radiation had radiation levels off the Richter scale. And then Russia came forward and told the truth. Well, every German woman that was pregnant rushed to get an abortion. I thought that was unnecessary. It was just completely unnecessary, but that was my opinion. So this COVID-19 is a sneaky virus, very sneaky. And how sneaky is it? It's invisible. It lasts on metal. Yes, your car door handle. Yes, all the doorknobs in your house. Anything, when you went in and out of buildings, shopping centers, you touched a door. Anything you touched that is metal, it can last for 9 days. That's why they're telling us, wash those hands. And yes, we all touch our face, and no more finger food. Enough with the finger food. So it's like radiation. You can't see it. So the governor said it's a snow globe. We're waiting for the snow to settle to the end. We're begging you all, if you are late in information, we are sorry for you. You're going to have to catch on, call friends, ask people to explain it to you, and we're sorry that you've been caught unprepared. I've been preparing for 3 weeks, and so I am taking time out to call you from my busy schedule. I have a to-do list today. So I say you must stop and you must use Yankee ingenuity. This virus also is like, I'm using a simile for those of you who didn't do well in English, a simile is using in quotation marks, like or as. I am not saying it is. I am saying it is like HIV, AIDS. It damages if you have a bad reaction to this virus. Are you there?
I'm just entranced.
If you get this virus, young, old, and it has a bad effect on you, you're an individual. Everybody is a snowflake out there in that you have a list of health ailments. I have asthma. I am not going out. I already cough on dust in my house or if I eat dairy. So if you also, so if you contract it and you do survive it, it may have done long-term damage to you. So the goal is everybody has to start counting. What are you counting? It's like the facts, ma'am. Well, who was the last person you met with of the public? Now, for you, it was your work employees. So everybody knows who was the last non-family member they had contact with. You must start counting, you know, all of you. And what am I counting? You're counting to day 15. If you get to day 15 and you don't have any symptoms, you are not free and clear 100%. You might be the percentage that does not show symptoms. That's another sneaky factor about this sneaky.
All right, I need you to kind of wrap things up, Jane, for as entranced as I am. I've got a lot of people who want to talk.
Everybody can figure out how to make their own mask with paper towels, a Ziploc bag, cut it, and sticky tape, packing tape, and help yourself.
Since you lived in Germany, I'm just curious, is there a red rubber ball in the mouth of that mask? I'm sorry. A little German humor I thought you might appreciate from Heinerberg.
There is. Everybody use your creativity. Everybody use your Yankee ingenuity. And if we all stop what we're doing, the goal is to let it land. So it's like that freeze dance. You're dancing, and then you freeze like a statue. The goal is to let it land and then start counting the heads. And then don't move again because you don't want to be available. You don't want to be a hoax.
All right, Jane, I got to go. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much for taking time from your busy schedule. I like my camel analogy a lot better. Here's what flattening the curve means, okay? Let's pretend you've got a camel in the water, okay? It's standing in the water, and I don't care how many humps the camel has, but let's just say that the top part of the camel's hump is above the water. That's what we don't want. Because the waterline, the waterline symbolizes the ability of healthcare workers and resources to manage incoming cases. So we don't want that camel's hump above the water. We want it below the water. That's what flattening the curve really is. And we're doing that, trying to do it, to protect our most vulnerable population. Again, I feel like a broken record with some of these statistics, but 80 to 87% of people with COVID-19 will either be asymptomatic or it's very, very minor. All right. Of the people who have tested positive in the United States and died, the death rate of those who have tested positive, that population of people, is just over 1.3% as of the CDC statistics of today. It's going to continue to go down. The more positive cases that are tested, we're going to have more positive tests than we have deaths by a long shot. So I do expect the overall death rate to be under one, well under 1% when all is said and done. But that is contingent upon flattening the curve so that those who are in the greatest distress get the ventilators and the gold standard medical treatment they will need. That's about as good as I can do. Plus, it gives us the chance to play the Sally the Camel song. All right, it is Bowerly with you on the radio. Did Governor Cuomo go too far by closing New York State effectively Sunday? Should President Trump close down the country? Should President Trump put in a national lockdown? Phil, let's hear that audio again of what the president had to say when he was asked that very question at his earlier press briefing.
What Governor Cuomo has done in New York, is there any more consideration to a national lockdown to keep people in their homes?
I don't think so. Essentially, you've done that in California. You've done that in New York. Those are really two hotbeds. Those are probably the two hottest of them all in terms of hotspots. I don't think so, because you go out to the Midwest, you go out to other locations, and they're watching it on television, but they don't have the same problems. They don't have, by any means, the same problem. New York, California, Miami, the governor's doing an excellent job. Governor DeSantis in Florida. We have some pretty hot spots in Florida, too. But we're general, and the state of Washington, of course. But that was largely, if you look at it, it was one nursing home that had problems like you wouldn't believe. So, no, we're working with the governors, and I don't think we'll ever find that necessary.
All right, that is President Trump. Is that the right call or the wrong call for the times? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go back to the calls. Everybody in order. And Maureen in Amherst, you are on WBEN. Welcome. Maureen.
Hey.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, okay. It buzzed out. Hey, Tom, I turned it on a little late, but I did hear the end of Kevin and his unfortunate experience at Millard. And I'm just going to ask that he please try to put aside the memory of what he considers his poor treatment.
We have a horrible connection, Maureen.
Oh, you can't hear what I'm saying?
I can hear it, but it sounds like I'm talking to a spirit.
Oh.
You sound disembodied.
Oh, well, I'm not.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that I'm not talking with the dead. It has not yet reached that level.
Not dead.
Yeah, just speak up a little bit more and make your point, please. Thank you.
Okay, let me do that. I'm just going to say I would appreciate in this difficult time we're all living in that Kevin would consider being so grateful that his parents' test came back negative, that they're not COVID, infected. And that he does have medical treatment should he need it. I say this, Tom, because one of our sons happens to be an ER doctor in Buffalo, in, you know, the area. And I can only tell you what he is going through and what all of us are going through. His sister is expecting, due very soon. She called me to say she had ordered some N95 masks online, you know, paid a big price, but was bringing them out to his house today. He's working, but she said, she started to cry. She said, I just was so sad yesterday when I heard he is wearing the same N95 mask every day with the surgical mask over there.
At that point, you might as well not even bother.
Well,
that's what I have heard from Dr. Mark Siegel at NY University.
What is he going to do, Tom?
Well, I know, but I mean, I don't envy anybody in the medical profession right now.
No.
That's pretty much the last place I'd want to be, whether you are an LPN, an RN, an MD, a DO, a surgeon, whatever it is you do, whatever your specialty is. Because let's not forget, doctors are also human, and doctors also have comorbidities and don't want to subject themselves to additional ailments that might do them in. I gotta move on, Maureen. Just a bad phone connection or something. I apologize. 626 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Brenda Alesi is coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, live and local here on WBEN. If you have a local restaurant and you are offering pickup and delivery, still essential, even under the new laws of New York effective on Sunday, go to WBEN.com. You'll find the appropriate place. And we are letting you guys basically advertise your businesses on our website for free. And hopefully that will do something to mitigate some of the economic damage that is being done right now, as we are in these very, very difficult times for so many people. And my heart is just breaking for those of you who, as a result of what Governor Cuomo is doing today, and this is not a political statement, by the way, because it kind of makes sense in many ways. Because of what he's doing and because of the efforts to flatten the curve, many of you, for the first time in your lives, are not going to have a regular source of employment income. And my heart is just breaking. And it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, obviously talking about COVID-19. Brenda Alesi is coming up at 7 o'clock tonight with live and local talk. Did Governor Cuomo go too far, basically putting New York State, closing down New York State effective Sunday? And should President Trump institute a national lockdown? Like many of you, I have heard whispers about certain things, but nothing definitive. 803, President Trump, by the way, denies there will be a national lockdown. In fact, I think we should play that audio again, Phil. President Trump from earlier today, is this the right response? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
What Governor Cuomo has done in New York, is there any more consideration to a national lockdown to keep people in their homes?
I don't think so. Essentially, you've done that in California. You've done that in New York. Those are really two hotbeds. Those are probably the two hottest of them all in terms of hotspots. I don't think so, because you go out to the Midwest, you go out to other locations, and they're watching it on television, but they don't have the same problems. They don't have, by any means, the same problem. New York, California, Miami, the governor's doing an excellent job, Governor DeSantis in Florida. We have some pretty hot spots in Florida, too. But we're in the state of Washington, of course, but that was largely, if you look at it, it was one nursing home that had problems like you wouldn't believe. So, no, we're working with the governors, and I don't think we'll ever find that necessary.
President Trump earlier, is that the right decision? I don't know, because it seems to me that if you want to lower the curve, which is the buzz phrase right now, that one of the ways you do that is you keep the cases from spreading from places like New York State or Washington into the Midwest, into West Virginia. I don't know. I'm conflicted about the idea. I don't much like it, because it does seem like it is unconstitutional, but in a state of national emergency, which, you know, what can you say about this? Basically, the rules tend to go out the window. You know what George Carlin says about this. So I'm very, very conflicted. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Taking everybody in order. Here's Dave in Cheektowaga. Dave, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Very informative show. I'm getting a lot of information.
Well, every now and again I get it right.
Yeah. work in a food service industry. I work for a wholesale grocer. Our place is going overboard right now. Overtime. It's crazy. They're hiring people. It's overwhelming. We supply all local, like, convenience stores, gas stations, NOCO, Sunoco, mobile, convenience stores, all the little stores. Our business is going through the ceiling. We're getting overtime, like, every day. They're actually hiring people. But I do incoming. I work the dock. Incoming, the toilet paper situation is insane. The napkins, baby wipes, Kleenex, it's just out of control.
And by the way, this would be a good time for me to remind people, as far as what you flush down your toilet, toilet paper only. We're having a sewage issue now. We're having a problem with pipes. People are flushing baby wipes. They're not meant to be flushed. People are flushing paper towels.
It's insane. It's insane. Napkins. I mean, we probably supply in these stores 3,000 rolls of paper towels. 3,000 rolls of toilet paper. There's a bunch of different companies that make it. Scott's, Markel, whatever. It's out of control. As soon as the pallets come in, they're gone.
Right. Right. Well, as somebody said, I've said this a couple of times, but the Facebook meme going around, something to the effect of, if you need 24 rolls of toilet paper in a week, you should have called a doctor a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, now, turning this around now, I went through this divorce like 2 years ago. I lost my house and everything, got raked over the coals. That's got nothing to do with nothing. But now I'm living with my 80-year-old parents. And when I go to work, second shift comes in, there's a lot of people. It's all distribution. The place is packed. It's not going to be closed. There's a lot of people because the food has to go out. I feel proud that I'm helping the community and doing this. I'm plugging, you know what I mean? But then I got to come home to my 80-year-old parents.
Well, I you know what? There are so many people in that position. I've been talking about a young lady I know who is in exactly the same position as you are. And I think, basically, again, I'm not a doctor, but if I were in your position, the shoes would not leave the front hall. I would probably take Clorox wipes and rub my shoes down with them. Every bit of clothing that I was wearing would go immediately into the washing machine. My hands would be washed with Clorox wipes. I would take a shower, wash your hair, do everything like that. Do your best to try to minimize the spread.
Okay, and then I work in the chemical area, too. Every kind of sanitizer, Clorox wipes, Lysol spray, 409, all of that's gone. Cannot.
Updated 646, someone in Pence's team.
It's crazy.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
The chemical area is my area, too.
So could you secure us some Clorox wipes?
No. Clorox wipes, Lysol wipes, 409, all of that stuff. You can't keep Lysol spray. It's gone. As soon as it comes in, it's gone. It's insane.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of all of Western New York for the work you and your colleagues are doing in your position, because you are coming into close contact with so many people.
Yeah, we got to keep it going.
You got to keep it going. But, you know, in your position, I would go into maximum protective mode, like gloves, mask.
Oh, yeah.
And anything to give you any kind of an advantage over this thing, because we don't need you and your cohorts getting sick.
And here's a question. Now, let's say I was in a job where I lost my job because of this lockdown thing. Who would pay my child support?
That's an excellent question, and one that is best directed to your attorney. I got a break. We have a special report from ABC News.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We've just been informed from the press secretary to Vice President Mike Pence that one of the vice president's staffers has tested positive for the coronavirus. The press secretary for the vice president says that neither the president nor the vice president had close contact with the individual. But again, a member of Vice President Pence's staff has tested positive for coronavirus. Further contact tracing now being conducted in accordance with the CDC guidelines. This, of course, coming from the Vice President's press secretary. Repeating, a member of Vice President Pence's staff has tested positive for the novel coronavirus. I'm Daria Albinger. This has been a special report from ABC News.
Well, this is to be expected. And I certainly offer my very, very best thoughts and prayers for the successful recovery of the person on Vice President Pence's team. It is basically, as I keep on saying this, and I've been saying this now for a long time, we have to act and behave as though all of us have been exposed to the coronavirus, COVID-19. We have to act that way out of a hyperabundance of caution. And as this goes on and the number of cases increases, as long as the hardest hit people have access to the golden standard of medical care, we should get the death rate to well under 1%. We should. But the key is flattening the curve, making sure that that camel's hump isn't over the waterline, which represents maximum medical capacity. Got to make sure that hump stays under that waterline. And you're going to hear more and more about prominent people or people connected to prominent people who test positive for COVID-19. It's not the end of the world. It is not the apocalypse. This is a unique situation. I've never experienced this. I've experienced a few outbreaks, absolutely. 9/11, naturally. But something like this is unprecedented in my lifetime in terms of scope. And I hope I never see it again. And I don't know how long it's going to last. But no matter how long it does last, the morning is going to come. And it'll be a beautiful day. But until then, I believe we're in this for the longer term as opposed to the shorter term. That's my personal opinion. Let's go to next up, Cheryl in Lockport. Cheryl, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. Great show.
Hi. Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you very much.
Actually, I'm calling in response to, I think the man's name was Kevin.
The guy who went to a local hospital who was not happy, he is COVID-19 positive.
Yes. I worked as a volunteer fireman. I worked as an EMT riding volunteer ambulance and in a hospital for over 10 years. The treatment that man received was just not appropriate at all. Healthcare workers, anybody to do with this, is held to a real high standard of how they work with patients. None of those people showed that, and that's not okay.
Well, again, you know, I've always found, and this is not to indict anybody, I've always found that in a situation like this, there are two sides to every story.
You're right.
Especially when we are, I mean, so we don't know exactly what the hospital involved and its position is or what they have to say about this matter. We heard Kevin's side of the story. I'm sure they've got a side of the story, too. I'm not going to rush to judgments. I will tell you that I was shocked by what I heard, but at the same time, I'd like to hear the defense. And I think we might hear things like, hey, we have to be healthy for the long term. We didn't think that he needed to be here and exposing us unnecessarily. So, yeah, if we got a little testy, we were concerned about our other patients. We were concerned about our staff.
And you're right. I have to look at that side. But again, if they knew how they were acting, they should have apologized to him. I'm glad he called in because, unfortunately, I think he's not going to be the only one this happens to.
No. And again, I've been urging for quite some time now that we not stigmatize the afflicted. And I hope that we don't have COVID-19 shaming.
And I hope you're right.
Unfortunately, I also know human nature. And in a situation like this, fear takes over. Irrational fear takes over, and it can show the dark underbelly and the thin veneer of civilization.
You're right. And, you know, I was cautious in the beginning and worried. But now I have to say to you, I'm really concerned, and somewhere on the scared side, because this is beyond whatever I could think of.
Well, I have to be honest with you. Likewise, ditto here, and ditto for every governor, every mayor, and I'm sure the president of the United States and all the leaders of Europe and Asia and everywhere else. I mean, look, you can, when you enter a position of leadership, there are a whole bunch of disaster scenarios that could happen that are laid out to you, including a situation like this. There are X number of dollars to go around. And if we funded for every possible contingency at a 100% level, we wouldn't have any money left. So right now, I mean, this is the way I look at it anyway. When somebody is entering office and there hasn't been a pandemic anywhere close to this since 1919, I can understand why the temptation would be there to say, yeah, you know, chances are it's not going to happen on our watch.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and unfortunately, history repeats itself. But I think the government at all levels, the president, the governor, the county executive, I think under the circumstances and given the givens, I think by and large, they've done exemplary jobs.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it very much. Here is George on WBEN. Hello, George. Hey, George. You waited so long. You going to let me down now? Do I have the right name? All right. Brenda Alacy, by the way, is coming up after 7 o'clock tonight. If you want to add to the conversation, just an update. Yeah, Brenda Alacy, 7 o'clock tonight. We have a full weekend planned for you here on WBEN. And I'm going to do a special show on Sunday from 1 until 4. I'm not going to be in on Monday. Has nothing to do with COVID-19. I have a defective ICD. And it is a medical necessity that I have a new working model implanted ASAP. It is not elective surgery. It is medically necessary. And I'm going to have a new ICD popped in a surgery on Monday. I fully expect to be back here on Tuesday. I'd like to milk a few days out of it, but I just not in these circumstances. I need to be here. 6:54, let's go to John in Dunkirk. John.
Tom, I have something to say, and I think it's fairly important. There's probably a lot of servers who work under the table. They would be smart to declare themselves independent contractors and file taxes so they can get the check that everybody's supposed to get if they're a taxpayer.
Well, people know their own situations personally better than I'm ever going to know them, and they're going to have to decide what's right for them given the exigencies of the situation.
I mean, if they're working under the table, it's... You know, it's forby. It's like, you know, they don't count.
No, I hear what you're saying. But like I say, people have to make, you know, people have to decide what's right for them. I'm not in a position to tell anybody what to do on that front.
That, because they're saying they're giving it to taxpayers.
Well, you know, something else I do want to say, too, and that is a lot of people, you know, when we do a pickup meal, we don't tip. And under the circumstances, if you are one of those fortunate enough to still be working, tip wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for those people who still find themselves in the front line of getting us all fed and happy. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Like I said, people have got to do what's in their own best interests financially in this situation. All right, coming up 7 o'clock, it is Brenda Alacy. And again, breaking news just a few minutes ago, a member of Vice President Pence's staff has tested positive for COVID-19. That individual said not to have been in close contact or contact with Pence or President Trump. 6:56.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.